What's up, everybody? It's your boy George Carney from Full Press Commanders. We're talking the 49ers and the Commanders in a Saturday Christmas Eve matchup. Let's get it on. What's up, everybody? Hopefully you guys are having a wonderful Thursday afternoon right now. Steph and I were talking offline about how cold it is. So hopefully you guys are staying warm out here and, you know, getting ready for the holidays. As I mentioned before, I'm joined with Steph Sanchez from the 49 Carat Podcast. How you doing today, Steph?
I'm doing good. I'm excited for this matchup. Looking forward to it. And thank you for having me on the channel.
Of course, man. So you guys should definitely check Steph out. I'm going to be dropping her link throughout the show. Very high quality 49ers podcast. That's why I seeked her out. She knows her stuff in regard to stats and data and all that kind of stuff. So I love it. She puts in the work. So I want to celebrate that. So Steph, man, big game for us. I mean, you guys clinched the playoffs. You guys are feeling pretty good right now. Washington kind of let the door open with losing to the Giants last week. So let's kind of talk about the state of the team. So the 49ers, man. So a couple of weeks ago, you guys, Jimmy Garoppolo goes down. People were kind of concerned that, you know, the whole season would be over and all the stuff going on, right? And then all of a sudden now Brock Purdy's right in the ship and you guys are on, I think, maybe 6 or 7 game win streak right now. So are you surprised by that? Are you surprised with the team with Brock Purdy, or how do you feel about this?
I am absolutely surprised. You know, I know a lot of players have said that they aren't, and that's because they get to see Brock Purdy every single day. I was at training camp and I saw Brock Purdy, and back then, like, he was just very mistake prone, throwing a lot of interceptions, but what he was good at was the situational periods. Mm-hmm. So you kind of take the good with the bad, but you know, I just didn't see a whole lot of future for him on the 49ers, yeah. But 49ers ended up keeping him over Nate Sudfeld, who they gave a little bit of a guarantee.
We know about Nate Sudfeld. He was from Washington. Yeah, we drafted him, by the way. But go ahead. Yeah.
So, I think the 49ers were planning to have Nate Sudfeld originally as their backup. But, mm-hmm. you know, at the end of training camp, it ended up being Brock Purdy, who they decided to keep. So I think that tells you right there, just like, obviously the 49ers liked what they saw out of him. And so, you know, going into that Dolphins game, obviously a high stakes game. It's going to be a high scoring affair. You know, when Jimmy Garoppolo went down, I was a little worried. You know, I was like, this could be our season right here, but let's just go and see what the rookie has, you know. And lo and behold, you know, he held his own. And, you know, he's giving you a lot of what Jimmy Garoppolo does, but I think he gives you a little extra as well. Like, he has a good feel for the pocket, so he's able to make some throws on the move as well. He's pretty accurate there. And he has a lot of poise. He has a lot of confidence. And he is not afraid to take some risks and throw, beyond the sticks and look downfield. You know, that's one thing that with Jimmy Garoppolo is very dink and dunk. You'll have some, you know, throws 15 yards here and there, but for the most part, he's not looking downfield. So that's really the difference. And so he's giving you a little bit extra than Jimmy Garoppolo does.
100%. Yeah. So Brock Purdy definitely surprised everybody, especially against the Buccaneers. He came out, took down Tom Brady, the GOAT, had a lot of confidence, was distributing the ball all over the place. So it kind of is interesting, right? So Brock Purdy's, you know, leading the ship, doing pretty well in San Francisco. Where does that leave you guys with the quarterback room? You know, moving forward, you know, you have Trey Lance, you know, he's kind of up and down. I didn't really know how I felt about him. Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, Washington was intrigued by him. And, you know, I'm kind of still intrigued now. And then you have Brock Purdy. So what's the long-term perspective for San Francisco and their quarterback room? What are you thinking?
I really don't know. And I'm, it's too early, you know, it's too early to think about that, you know. There's no shortage of arguments on Twitter about what's going to happen next season, mm-hmm. Between, you know, Purdy and Trey Lance. And we've even heard like Tom Brady can come over here, you know, like it just never ends with this team. So I'm not there yet. I'm not ready to, you know, make any proclamations about what Brock Purdy is going to be, you know, in the future for this team. But I do know if the 49ers make it to the Super Bowl with Brock Purdy, it would be very difficult to not give him that opportunity, you know, next
that'd be
season,
crazy. That'd be storybook.
I know.
Right?
It'd be crazy. Yeah,
that'd be storybook. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Obviously, I think the 49ers are a well-rounded team. Kyle Shanahan, we know about him over here in DC. Excellent coach, one of the best offensive coaches in the game. I think he's definitely propping up Brock Purdy, and Purdy's walking through the door. He's doing his part, right? So that's good over there. I guess my question is, before we start digging into our matchup, how do you feel about Trey Lance? I mean, he was kind of like, he was a very polarizing guy come draft time. I'm sure you put in the work. I was looking at the draft and looking at Trey Lance. I was like, you know, he has an athletic ability, that high upside, but is he really refined? And, you know, he didn't really show that great of a start beginning of the year, but I guess it was really cut short too. So what are your thoughts of Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo even? I'm kind of curious about that.
Yeah, Trey Lance, I think it's just, like you said, we just haven't seen enough to really make any judgments on him, I think. The sample size is still very small. And because you've seen some really good things, some things where you're like, wow, you see the potential, you see that he has a high ceiling. But at the same time, as of right now, like, it seems like his floor is pretty low as well. So that's kind of the thing with Trey Lance. And it almost seems like even Kyle Shanahan seemed a little uncomfortable calling plays for him, because that's a little out of his wheelhouse and, you know, compared to some of the quarterbacks that he's had and he's been comfortable having.
Passers. Yeah, exactly. Ryan, so Garoppolo.
Exactly. So I think it's a bit of a learning curve for Kyle Shanahan as well. And I think we saw that in the play calling, and we saw that in Trey Lance's execution as well. So I think it's too early to say what he's going to be, but I mean, it's a shame that he got hurt this season, because that experience would have been invaluable to him. And now he's going to go into next season coming off an injury, with yet another year of, you know, not having a lot of playing time. So we're just going to have to wait and see what the off season holds for him.
Yeah, it's very interesting, because honestly, you know, you kind of look at the 49ers from afar, they have an awesome defense, have a strong running game, their offensive line's pretty solid. If Trey Lance actually, like, pans out, that's a skeleton key, man. Having a mobile quarterback that can still throw the ball around pretty well, that'd be pretty awesome for you guys long term. So good luck with that. Before we go that direction though, Jimmy Garoppolo. So, you know, Washington, we have Taylor Heineke. We're kind of like, we don't really know how we feel about him. There's Trey talks about Jimmy Garoppolo maybe coming to DC. We'll see if we kick the can this year as well. Like, what are your thoughts on Jimmy? He put in the work, and he's like 45 wins, 16 losses, something along the lines of that. He's a winner, but, I mean, what's his deal? What are your thoughts on him?
I mean, in the past you know, I could see why the team would want to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo, just because, you know, one, he had suffered a lot of injuries in his time with the 49ers. So in that sense, he's not really reliable. But at the same time, you always feel like you could just do a little bit better than Jimmy Garoppolo. And that's the struggle with him, because he's good enough to win you games.
Just good enough.
Yes, he's just good enough. So you're in QB purgatory with a quarterback like Jimmy. But this season, I thought he was playing the best football that he'd played in his career. Like, he was consistent. He was putting together, you know, many games in a row where he would be consistent, because the knock on him before was like, yeah, he'd have two really good games and then he'd have one bad one, and then he'd kind of start the cycle again, you know. But this season, he was consistent. And so the 49ers, you know, there were reports that they were open to bringing him back next year. I don't know if that would be the case now, you know, because of another season with an injury. Brock Purdy's looking pretty good right now. So all of a sudden, going into next season with Trey Lance and Purdy, probably the cheapest quarterback room in the league, that doesn't look so bad.
That's true. That's a very good point. All right, so before we dive into, like, our game, I have one more question for you. So in mid-October, San Francisco, you guys are sitting at 3-4. And there's, like, you know what? Like, are the 49ers that preseason talk, you know, really hyping up that you guys would have a run in the playoffs was kind of in question. But then you guys bounce back. So I think I know the answer to this, but what turned around the team when you guys are sitting there at 3-4 in October?
Honestly, it was a couple of things. You know, the low-hanging fruit is Christian McCaffrey. That trade 100%. Absolutely just changed the makeup of this team, and it's helped them tremendously in every facet of the offense. But also Jimmy Garoppolo, I think, started to, like I said, string together some really good performances where, you know, along with the defense, they're holding it down. With both of those things together, it's hard to lose games. So I think it was all of that put together. But definitely, I mean, the impact of Christian McCaffrey on this team is undeniable. And pretty much since he's been a full-time player, they've been undefeated.
Yeah, they have. They've been on fire. So let's talk about that, right? So the 49ers have been on fire. They've been looking pretty good. I'm going to pull up the big picture and look at our team for the past couple of weeks. Give me 1 second to pull up my stats over here. So team metrics. So obviously, tail of the tape, we have the 49ers. We have the Commanders coming up this week. This is according to PFF.com. The 49ers have the fourth overall power ranking. I believe they won seven in a row, Steph. Is that correct? Seven or is it six? Something like that,
seven.
Right?
Yeah,
seven. Seven. Okay, yeah. So seven in a row. Have a dominant defense, and that's what I'm worried about. I think, honestly, I'm confident in Washington in regard to, like, our gameplay and trying to have time of possession, but I just think it's a really bad matchup this week against you guys because you have a pretty stout defense. You guys have the number one rushing defense, number one point score defense. It's going to be a pretty competitive game against us. So looking up here, tail of the tape, we try to control the ball. It seems like you guys do the same thing. Yeah. It's kind of a surprising for me is you guys run the ball even more than us, which is extra pretty and pretty surprising, I guess, 45% of the time. Is that primarily McCaffrey or do you guys kind of vary it a little bit?
I think it's varied, but definitely with McCaffrey, I mean, that has increased. And I mean, that's kind of been a staple of the Kyle Shanahan offense as far as his time here in San Francisco. It's always been run first. You now, like in within this win streak, you have seen somewhat of a shift where Kyle Shanahan is more comfortable, you know, throwing the football. First, it was with Jimmy Garoppolo. He's kind of leaning into that a little bit more, and they were successful with it. And now with Brock Purdy, they've continued on with that. And I do think it's because of Christian McCaffrey that it has opened things up, not just because McCaffrey is good as a receiver as well, but because we've been talking about McCaffrey's gravitational pull. Like
I heard about that. Right? So, I love it. So, break it down for our fans. We haven't heard it yet.
Anytime... Anywhere he moves, he pulls defenders with him. Like if you watch any of the plays, if you watch both of Kittle's touchdowns last week against Seattle, that's a great example of it right there where everyone just comes underneath to see what McCaffrey's doing. And you have to respect where McCaffrey is anywhere on the field. He's a threat everywhere. It just opened things up for Kittle, and that's how he was able to get open. So that's allowed him to, you know, have a more impactful passing game as well.
Gotcha. Yeah, that one play was slick. I know exactly what you're talking about, where he did like a fake pass to one side, fake pass to the other, and Kittle ran right out of the middle. It was a great play right there. Yeah, it was nice. So I guess one more question. I think I kind of already know the answer. So the 49ers put a lot of investment into McCaffrey, right? I believe it was a second, third, fourth round pick next year, then another mid-round pick in the next year after that. Or is that a thumbs up? You guys are pretty confident with that? Were you happy with that? Or how do you feel? Do you feel like it was too big of an investment? Or what do you think?
As of right now, I think every 49er fan is pretty happy with that trade. And because you're seeing the instant gratification of that trade and you're getting instant results out of it, and you really can't ask for anything more out of an acquisition. So, and, you know, he's only 26. I mean, and he has a few more years on his deal. So it wasn't just a rental. So I think putting all of that together, it was a big win, I think, for all sides, honestly.
I think it was good. Yeah. I think that walking away, you know, as a third party person, right? Like, all right, the Panthers got, you know, killing in regard to what they got in regard to him pulling it back. Uh-huh. But now looking big picture, you know, the 49ers, man, they're in a championship window, putting Christian McCaffrey as that, you know, that standout piece for him. You guys are actually doing pretty well. So, you know, kudos to you guys there. So awesome. So, yeah, looking up here, you guys have pretty much been on fire recently. You know, we have seven games winning streak over here, putting up 33 points against the Dolphins and 35 points against the Buccaneers with Brock Purdy. It's pretty impressive right there. Knocking out the Seahawks. We were very thankful about that over here in D.C., but we couldn't pull our weight against the Giants. So that's looking pretty good right there. And let's go to our next slide right here. This is the big one, our injury report. So, talking about this, I'm sure I heard on your podcast as well. Are there pretty big injuries that you are concerned about? And the one that stands out to me that I'm curious about is Tre'Davious Ward. He's an awesome man. He's a great cornerback. Great in the run game. You know, I'm afraid he's going to shadow Terry McLaurin. We'll see how that plays out. But he had a concussion. So talk about your injury report. Talk about Ward, if you don't mind, and kind of break it down for us.
Yeah. He was evaluated for a concussion in that Thursday night game against the Seahawks. He was cleared in the game. Kyle Shanahan decided not to throw him back out there. He just didn't feel right about it. And Friday, he had symptoms, so he entered the protocol then. The good thing about that from the 49ers perspective is the fact that because they were on the Thursday night window, you know, it gives them
more
time to be prepared for Saturday. And he's already shed the blue no contact jersey, which is a good sign that he's progressing well, in the protocol. So Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see if he clears it before Saturday. But as of right now, I would expect that he would. And, you know, for the 49ers, like that, they need him out there. I mean, they would definitely struggle if he wasn't there. He's pretty much been the alpha in that secondary. And I mean, yes, they lost Emmanuel Mosley earlier in the season, but Diamandouro Lenore has been doing pretty good as well. And to your point earlier about Charvarius Ward potentially shadowing
McLaurin.
McLaurin, I wouldn't expect
Yeah.
that. Ward
Okay.
pretty much stays to his side, and he doesn't shadow from what I've
Interesting. Okay,
seen.
that's good to
Yeah.
that's good to know. Interesting. Okay. Do you have any questions for us in regard to like injuries for the Washington?
Well, I mean, let's talk about this very important guy, Chase Young, huh? Like,
It's
how you guys
crazy.
feeling about that one? I know it's a huge boost for you guys' defensive line, who, I mean, that line is already loaded, so how you guys feel about
So
him being back?
it's a hot topic. I don't know if
Yeah.
you caught it, like, 5, 10 minutes ago, basically Chase Young has been activated. So he should be able to play this game, which will be interesting. This has been a really polarizing topic in DC. He's been off the injured reserve and he was on the active roster since November 2nd. So this has been dragging on for about 6 weeks now. Just to give you guys, 49er fans some more context. He had torn ACL. Essentially, what happened was they reached into his, or they cut into his other patella tendon on the opposing knee and used that as a muscle graft to rebuild his ACL on his other leg. So between there's surgery on both of his legs. Structurally sound, Chase Young has been in good shape, and from what I this is my personal perspective, it seems that he's been structurally sound for a couple of weeks now, but his confidence hasn't necessarily been there. And at Chase being at age 23, he has in his own mind long-term perspectives and long-term contracts in his perspective, right? He doesn't want to go out there and risk anything.
Makes
I
sense.
think Ron Rivera was very patient with it as at first. After the Giants lost, Ron Rivera kind of had a polarizing quote in the in his news presser, like, we need our guys out there. Anybody that's hurt needs to kind of toughen up, needs to get out in the field, for lack of better words. And people kind of were like, that's kind of like a veiled shot at Chase Young. So I'm not surprised that Chase Young is actually playing this week. Dr. James Andrew flew up and kind of looked at his knee and like gave him a thumbs up that you're good to go. So Chase Young is going to play. I did listen to your podcast and people are concerned about the rust. And I do kind of see that as well. I think the game plan is to give him about 10, 15 reps on defense. And, that's like
All right.
about a quarter of the total plays. He's not going to start. Like, he may start. We'll see if he does. I think it's going to be a huge boost to our fan base, but I'm thinking 10 to 15 reps. And if he's doing really well, keep him in there. If he's struggling, kind of pull him out, just kind of like taste the waters a little bit.
Yeah.
Our defensive line has been pretty solid without him. So I think that's why there hasn't been a rush for him. But when you have an athlete like Chase Young, he does provide that high spark. Like, I don't know if you caught the Sunday Night Football game. Kevon Thibodeau just, he knocked out Taylor Heineke's ball, caused that fumble recovery. We need stuff like that to happen against the 49ers to win the game. Like, I think you guys are a more well-rounded team. We need those turnovers. So the upside of Chase Young coming back is actually pretty intriguing. So we're all curious. We're all hopeful. I think it's just time for him to kind of get over that mental hurdle. But Chase Young, these guys getting number two overall pick, they're there for a reason. Once he gets out there, I think it's going to click for him. I'm ready to go, and I think he'll show some flashes. So we'll see how it goes down.
Well, I thought it was interesting that you said that, you know, he will maybe get eased in to this game, because my assumption, because I'm just thinking, okay, from the Commanders' perspective, you guys are a little desperate in
All or
the
nothing.
sense that, yeah, all or nothing. You guys have to win this game if you guys want to get to the playoffs. And so in that sense, I could see like Ron Rivera just being like, just stay out there, man. Like, we need this win,
I get it.
especially if it seems like it's leaning towards the 49ers way. Like, you know, he's going to want to keep him out there. That's what I think. But I don't know. For the 49ers, it would be great if he was only out there for a few snaps, maybe the obvious passing downs. But I am a little, you know, worried about it. Yeah, I mentioned the rust. That was more just like wishful thinking on my part. But yeah, I mean, he's a game changer for sure. And with Montez Sweat on the other end, like, you guys have two really good pass rushers who can disrupt the pocket. And we haven't really seen, like, yeah, we've seen Brock Purdy under pressure, and he has been good, especially against the blitz. But I'll be curious to see how he does, because this is another challenge for him. I would say it's much bigger challenge than the Bucks were. So I'm interested to see how he does, and also our right tackle Mike McGlinchey, how he performs going up against Chase Young. That'll be a big test for him.
It will be interesting. And you're right. I can definitely see where you're coming from with just throwing him in the fire and let it go. I just think there's a whole bunch of context over the past year and a half. Like, Chase Young is an awesome athlete, but what happened with him last year, he kind of bumped heads with Ron Rivera. Because he's so athletic, he kind of broke the scheme technique. Like, he broke like the he didn't necessarily follow what the actual game plan was. Yeah. Like Washington really predicates itself on like gap integrity and being at a certain place at a certain time. Chase Young kind of freelanced a little bit to try to create and try to have like big game, you know, game breaking plays, and will leave large gaps for basically the running backs to zip through.
Gotcha.
So I think Ron Rivera kind of got upset with that. And, you know, with Chase Young being back, we have like lesser skilled athletes that are following the rules. And I think that's been like working within the system. So it's actually working pretty well. So it's going to be interesting. Chase Young goes back, and if he's actually following the rules, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing and blowing up, I think he'll stay in there. But, you know, I think there is a slight like 10% fear that it's working right now, adding this like added variable come playoff time. It might kind of create bigger problems when it's all said and done. So we'll see. I mean, I want Chase Young to be Chase Young and go out there and shine. We'll see how it goes. You know, we'll see how that goes down. So to give you guys more context from the 49ers perspective, the big guys for Washington are Benjamin St. Juste and Cam Curl. Those guys are awesome secondary players. Benjamin St. Juste, he's our CB1. You know, Kendall Fuller is probably more recognized nationally, and he's kind of more of like the, you know, he won the Super Bowl in Kansas City and so on and so forth. But Benjamin St. Juste, you know, former Minnesota product, 6'3", you know, 220-pound corner. You know, he had a great game against Justin Jefferson earlier in the year. He is our primary man corner. He had a high ankle sprain, mid ankle sprain for about 3 weeks now. He's been out. We really needed him against the Giants. He is, you know, he's projecting to play this week, which will be a huge boost to our defense. And then Cam Curl, man, he's the man, dude. He's a, you know, for us, he's like our dark horse, the under the radar kind of player for us. Number 31 for you 49ers fans. He plays strong safety, but he can play free safety. He can play Buffalo nickel, which is like a, you know, an exaggerated linebacker position where he kind of like covers the slot as well. He's very versatile, and we really want him back. And it was kind of surprising that he popped up on the injury report, but I think we're all good to go. I think all hands on deck, Steph. I think we're going to go for it. So we'll see how it goes down.
I think so. That's what it looks like. And that's what you want, right? Like, out of any game, you want to go up against the best. So it should be a really good matchup for sure.
For sure. Last but not least, before we jump into the actual offense, this is the tail of the tape. This is where we all stand right here. You know, obviously the 49ers, you know, I was kind of surprised by your offensive yards per game. You guys have put up those yardage. Defense, I knew you guys are pretty strong. 24.1 points per game. Really solid there. Rush defense is going to pose a problem for Washington, so we're seeing that. I guess let's pivot a little bit. Let's talk about our offense over here. So I love that narrative. I don't know if you coined it or if like Kyle Shanahan coined it, but I've been hearing it a lot, that gravitational pull for Christian McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. Who's benefiting from that? So him being that like gravitational pull, what's the reaction, I guess, for the 49ers?
I mean, really, it's anyone can benefit from it. It's pick your poison. And you almost see Kyle Shanahan setting it up that way because he's using McCaffrey a crazy amount, especially with Deebo Samuel out. That's one aspect we didn't talk about, but Deebo Samuel being out, we didn't even notice he was gone, you know, in that game against the Seahawks, because McCaffrey could fill that role so nicely, him being able to, you know, he could do the wide back role just as well. So I think it's really anyone, and it's pick your poison. It could be a different person each week. Last week it was George Kittle. He was pretty quiet, you know, in the games previous to that one. So I honestly wasn't even expecting like a big game from him on Thursday, but that like I said, that's just how it was set up, and that's how Kyle Shanahan schemed him open, right? So I think if he wants to get someone open, he could, just because of the gravitational pull, as I mentioned, and then also it's Kyle Shanahan. In my mind, he can scheme anyone open. I wonder if Brandon Ayuk will maybe have a bigger game this week. He was quiet last week. He's been consistent, you know, more or less throughout the year. I was a little surprised he was quiet last week because Deebo Samuel was out. Yeah. In the two games that Deebo Samuel has been out, he's averaged five targets, six catches, and he had He split touchdowns. So in one game, he had a touchdown. Another, he didn't. Really, mm-hmm. Kittle's been the biggest beneficiary, and McCaffrey, of Debo being out. But it's pick your poison. Like, anyone on this team can go off and have an impact.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. So obviously, I was going to ask you about that. So Debo Samuel has had 91 targets throughout the year. You know, he's one of the most versatile players in the league. I guess, would you say that it's time for Brandon Ayuk to stand up this week? What do you guys think? Like, he's going to be the guy that could get most of the targets, or would it be Kittle, in your opinion, or both?
Man, it could be both. You really never know. I mean, the challenge is that Washington defense, they're defending against tight ends, I think, the best in the league, even better than the 49ers. So it might be tough sledding for George Kittle in that sense this week. So I think this is a week where Brandon Ayuk does have to step up. And, you know, I say it all the time that Brandon Ayuk can get open against anyone, you know, because he's a great route runner. You know, sometimes NFL will post some clips of him, like, you know, beating some man just by how he runs his route. And so I think there's a potential for that in this game. Of course, it all depends on, you know, Brock Purdy, and, you know, if there's any pressure on him, is he going to be able to get the ball out? You always know that McCaffrey is going to be a guy who's going to be the outlet receiver. So they always have that as an option as well.
Yeah, I'm really surprised by the fact that Brandon Ayuk had 7 touchdowns. Kind of, I didn't know that till today. After I started looking around, it popped open. I was like, wow, pretty impressed by that.
He's really good in the red zone.
Really good in the red zone. Okay, that's good to know. Actually, I'm gonna keep an eye out for that. Thanks, Steph. It's gonna be interesting. So I think, you know, obviously Washington. I think the game is going to be generating pressure, right? I think if we can generate pressure on Brock Purdy, potentially make mistakes, that's going to kind of make the game more close, in my opinion. Washington was really scared of Daniel Jones's running against us. He's always been a thorn in our side in regard to his scrambling. So I think last week Washington ran a lot of zone defense to kind of, you know, keep him in front of us, because typically if you run man and you have your corners running behind and kind of leaving the front of the line, it leaves open gaps for huge rushing. Mm-hmm. I don't think Brock Purdy is a threat to run at all, right? He's not a runner at all, is he?
Not really. He could escape the pocket. If there's a lane, I'm sure he would take it, but he keeps his eyes upfield, so he's looking to pass first.
Gotcha. So I think what's going to happen, and you also mentioned as well, I think the major focus will be taking away Christian McCaffrey, stopping the run game, playing man up, and, you know, can your guys beat our guys? It's playoff time. I think it's going to be what's going to happen this week, so we'll see how it goes down. One more question on the offense. So Washington prides itself on the defensive line. Our two best players, you know, Montez Sweat gets a lot of love, and, you know, Chase Young gets a lot of love nationally, but it's Daron Payne and it's Jonathan Allen as our interior defensive tackles. Yep. From what I'm gathering, and this is me being a researcher as opposed to a fan, the interior line for the 49ers, right? It's kind of like your weak point, your Achilles heel. Is that fair to say in regard to your offense, I guess, or what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, when you have Trent Williams on one side, and, you know, Mike McGlinchey lately, he's done pretty well. Jake Brendel, for sure, our center, can definitely be had sometimes. As a unit, like, they're above average, but, you know, every once in a while, you know, some of those guys can give something up.
Okay. Just want to give a shout out to Dave in the chat. Dave says, Commanders typically win when they absolutely have to win. So I think it's going to be a very intense effort on the Commander side. Should be a great game. I truly hope so. I think, you know, just for the fun of the NFL, I do hope it's a good game. And that's true. If you actually follow Washington, we typically lose the games we're supposed to win and win the games we're supposed to lose. So that's kind of how we're going in. So hopefully that kind of plays in our favor this week. Let's pivot over to our defense real quick, right? So the 49ers defense is amazing, Steph. It's fun to watch week after week. They're first in points allowed, first in yards allowed, first in rush defense. What makes them so special? Why does 49ers stand out week after week?
I think it's just fully a group effort. There's so many talented players at every level of this defense, and they play with the camaraderie. Did I say that right? Camaraderie. That, like, you know, they're playing for each other. One guy misses a tackle, like, there's like 2-3 other guys that are going to clean it up, you know, right after him. So it's really just a group effort from everyone. I mean, the defensive line, they got some dogs. I mean, Nick Bosa, he's the main guy, but Eric Armstead coming back just a couple of weeks ago has been huge for that defensive line as well. He helps open things up for Nick Bosa, and, you know, D'Amico Ryans loves to run some stunts with those guys to, you know, to generate pressure too. in some key moments. And this linebacker group is so hard to throw against. You'll see, like, you know, the next gen stats, passing charts. And so anytime a quarterback plays against the Niners, you just see like a void, no passes like completed or attempted in the middle of the field. And that's credit to Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw and Azeez Al-Shaair. I would say this is one of the best linebacker groups, if not the best in the NFL. Dre Greenlaw also just got snubbed from the Pro Bowl. So he might be playing.
So did McCaffrey, right?
McCaffrey did too. I know. Yeah.
That's crazy. That's nuts.
Yeah, it is. So like Greenlaw might be playing with a little extra juice. And then, you know, our safeties as well, Hufanga and Tashawn Gibson have been really good.
I like Hufanga a lot.
Yeah, he's great. He's gotten a lot of interceptions for this team. And, you know, I mean, we talked about Charvarius Ward a little bit ago. He was in DK Metcalf's head, you know, last week. He was pissing him off a little bit. And it's just because he plays with a lot of physicality.
I saw that, actually.
He plays with a lot of physicality. That. He's an alpha, you know. So he and what's crazy is that Ward is actually one of the most targeted cornerbacks in the NFL, which is crazy because he's actually really good. And Lenore, out of all of this defense, all the guys here, Lenore is the weak spot. And that's not really like a knock on Lenore. It's just the fact that like every level. So
there's got to be a weak spot at some point, right? Exactly. Someone's going to get picked on.
If Emmanuel Mosey was here, it would be like no fly zone, but Lenore, he's definitely that one dude, but he's solid as well. So dogs everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, yeah, your defense is stacked. I mean, the one thing that I'm jealous about in regard to your defense as opposed to ours is a linebacking core. Fred Warner's ridiculous. Dre Greenlaw is awesome as well. Fred Warner's one of my favorite linebackers in the league. I love watching him play. I guess my next question for you is, you know, they're tackling machines. Yes. I actually have the stats to prove it. I'll pull it up in a second. Tackling machines, are they vulnerable to the passing attacks? I think, like, if anything, Washington does have, you know, slot positions. We have, you know, Curtis Samuel and Jahan Dotson could potentially attack the middle of the field. Are they pretty good in coverage as well, or what do you think? It sounds like you do feel pretty confident with them.
Yeah, no, the linebackers, like I said, the middle of the field is kind of a no-fly zone, so I feel confident about that. I mean, lately, they do give up a lot of passing yards, but that's because, like, we shut down the run that teams have to pass. That's the only success that they're going to have. But the defense does a great job of keeping everything in front of them. So with that, you're probably just going to get some short gains, you know, and you're going to get tackled right away, you know, with this defense because of what you mentioned. Like, the tackling is really good across the board. The one thing I would say, like, really the only thing I've seen of teams having success and getting a big play have just been coverage busts. That's it.
Gotcha.
That's it. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's as the Commanders, like, you guys would wish or hope that would happen at least once in this game to try to get like a big score. But other than that, it's tough, to score on this team.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. So, like, what Washington wants to do is run the ball. They want to run the ball, control the clock, time of possession, and potentially kind of, you know, maybe a play action shot down the field or something like that. They're going to do some things where they're going to try to add some wrinkles like jet sweeps with Curtis Samuel or maybe some screen plays here. But I think it's going to be like a low scoring. I mean, I know it's going to be low scoring. Yeah, maybe, you know, let's run the game altogether, definitely on our end because their offense kind of struggles altogether anyway. So it'll be interesting there. Are there any windows for Washington to run against this defense? Or I mean, you guys have been doing it week after week. Who's the best running back you guys faced all year, and how'd you guys fare against him? That's a hard question to put on the spot.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I can't remember off the top. I mean, we've gone against some pretty good running backs.
It's the Seahawks, right? Kenny Walker and all that, right? So that's one.
I'll say this, though. From all the teams we faced, we have not allowed a rusher to go over 60 yards on us. They haven't even reached 60 yards. I think the closest was 59 yards. There's been a couple guys that gone like 58 around there.
Yeah, I saw a stat. The last seven games under 70 yards or something crazy like that. So,
yeah.
Steph, I got a question for you in the chat right here. So Dave is asking you. Dave says, has this rookie quarterback really seen an intense defense that the Commanders will bring since taking over?
No, he hasn't. Really, the toughest defense he's faced thus far has been the Bucs, okay? And even then, like, they had, you know, some – they were shorthanded in their secondary. The one thing with both the Bucks and the Dolphins is that they blitzed a lot. So he's seen a lot of blitzes. He's beat blitzes. So I would say that's not the way to beat Brock Purdy. I saw that Washington blitzes 23% of the time, which is 16 mm-hmm. most. So they're around the middle. They don't do it too yeah. much. And mm-hmm. really the one thing that I've seen that he's not as good against is zone coverage. So that's one okay. way to slow him down. Against man, he's been pretty good. 8.5 yards per attempt against zone, he's 6.6. So that could be the Purdy beater, I guess. But at this point, like
yeah, we'll
we haven't really seen his floor, I feel like. So really the Seattle game, he was dealing with this oblique injury, is probably his floor as we know it right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. Now that you say that, I wonder if Washington's going to kind of eat, like if Purdy struggles against zone coverage, maybe Washington goes that route, because I don't think we have anywhere that can run with McCaffrey in man coverage. That might be a complete deficit there. Same thing with Kittle as well. So maybe forcing Purdy to kind of distribute the ball and, you know, hopefully we can throw a couple blitzes in there and disrupt him. We'll see how that goes. So yeah. That's interesting. So speaking of which, it's kind of like start winding this thing down a little bit. So, you know, in regard to keys to the game, what do you think the 49ers need to do to win this game?
Well, from the offensive standpoint, I think, you know, Brock Purdy has to get the ball out quickly. He hasn't mm-hmm. had to do that much so far. I mean, except for the times that he's blitzed. So he's proven that he could. But I think, you know, the challenge here is going to be that if the Commanders are not going to be blitzing, you're going to have to get the ball out quickly into coverage. So that'll be the challenge here. Last week against Seattle, he had a lot of time to get the ball out. I don't think he's going to have that luxury this game. And of course you want to avoid turnovers. I don't think he does have a high percentage of turnover worthy plays. Mm-hmm. and he hasn't really had a lot of interceptions to this point, so he's gonna have to try to keep it that way. And I think the offense, Kyle Shanahan, they need to take advantage of McCaffrey being the focal point of the defense, which he's going to be. We know that for a fact. Every team is mm-hmm. going to want to force the 49ers to have Brock Purdy beat them. And
yeah,
the way you do that is trying to stop McCaffrey, which is easier said than done. But I think the Commanders could do it. But, you know, it also comes with a price where you may leave other guys open. So,
susceptible.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
Kyle Shanahan
yeah, exactly
needs
right.
to take advantage of that, which I think he could. And I think that's really going to be the difference in this game, the difference between the Commanders offense and the 49ers offense. There's a big difference in those two, and I think that's gonna be where this game is potentially won.
I agree. That's pretty fair analysis, I'd say. One question or one comment from the chat, your boy J49. He said the last team that ran on us was the Atlanta, which they have a great running offense.
Yeah,
we played this year too.
Yeah, that was a tough game for us for some reason.
He said they won first down, but the linebackers whooped the running back. Where are they now? Ron Rivera's teams are tough going back to the Panthers day. That's exactly right. So basically, you know, coming from a Commanders fan, someone that's deep into it over here. You know, Ron Rivera, he got a lot of criticism, was very, very polarizing at the beginning of the year. You know, should we have him back? Should we, you know, fire him particularly or anything like that? He actually brings the team together. Washington has had so much drama off the field, so many different things here or there in regard to, you know, just, you know, injuries and bad things that have happened to us. He makes his teams fight. So I do think Washington's going to provide an ample fight going into this game. From the Washington perspective, I think it's going to be turnovers. Can we pressure Brock Purdy? And can we stop Taylor Heinicke from turning the ball over? Because I do think that very similar to Brock Purdy, it's a fact. You know, Taylor Heinicke has those turnover-worthy plays that we see on PFF and all those different stat metrics. He's, you know, top five, top 10 in regard to throwing these balls in the cornerback's hands. They're just not bringing them down. And I think the 49ers will catch those. So that is one thing that I'm worried about big picture. One last question. I guess two more questions and we're done, Steph. D'Amico Ryans, right? Awesome defensive coordinator. Do you suspect him to be back in 49ers next year?
No, I do not. He's done such a great job, and you know, honestly, he deserves a blank check at this point. And I mean, we're also used to just like so many of our coaches, you know, heading to greener pastures and getting head coaching jobs. So that's kind of just
getting third round picks for him too, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. sweet in the deal. But yeah, so no, I don't expect him to be back.
Okay, cool. And then very last question. I'm kind of catching your tone. What do you think the game's going to be? Game prediction. You think the 49ers are going to win? And if you feel comfortable giving a score, potentially.
I think this is going to be a low-scoring game for both teams. I think we're going to see a lot of punts. Our punters are going to get a generational game in this one, I think, possibly. But ultimately, I think the difference in this game is just going to be the fact that the 49ers have the better offense because both defenses are really good. I have a lot of respect for the Commanders' defense. I think they're going to play hard. I think they're going to give Brock Purdy a real challenge. But, you know, just from the talent level and just all execution this season, I think the 49ers' offense has the edge. So my score prediction is 17-6, but it's going to be a tough one.
I do like that. I do think it's going to be a low scoring game. And I want to have some hope and I want to think that Washington score a lot of points, but I think a single digit game might be in our cards, which kind of be heartbreaking right now, but we'll see how it all shakes out. A couple comments and before we'll wrap it all up. So, Ace 209, Commanders defenses will be a good playoff type defense. So Brock can get some good experience in this game. I do feel there will be some playoff atmosphere here. Hopefully Washington will show up. And then J49, once again, he said 23-10 Niners. I kind of see something like that too. I have a couple of content creators that I work with. I think that will be my prediction. I am erring on the side of the 49ers respectfully. Hopefully that Washington will surprise me and pull out that W over there. So it'll be good. Steph, you've been badass. I really enjoyed talking to you. It's been a lot of fun. As you guys can see on the bottom of my ticker right here, you can definitely subscribe to our 49K podcast on all platforms, audio and video. Before we wrap it up, Steph, kind of break it down. You know, where can they find you? What are you working on? Give us your socials and everything like
Yeah, of course. You guys can find my podcast, 49 Carats Podcast, anywhere you find your podcasts. Spotify, YouTube are the main, no, Spotify, YouTube, and then Apple Podcasts are the main avenues there. And then also I have a podcast with Niners Nation called the Bully Ball Podcast with my co-host Jason Aponte. So if you guys are interested in that type of content, that is also up on all streaming platforms.
Cool. Appreciate that, Steph. One last one. Dave basically says 17-10 San Francisco
There had to
Commanders.
be
I like that.
one going for the Commanders, right? At least one.
I love it, man.
Yeah,
I
we
love it,
need
Dave.
that.
Good stuff, man. So guys, I'm G Carmi. I'm George Carmi. You can find me at GCarmi21 on Twitter. I write for fullpresscoverage.com, host of the Full Press Commanders podcast. It's been a blast. Steph, you are now my 49ers connect. I'm going to reach out to you all the time. I appreciate that. Thank you guys for listening. Have a great weekend and enjoy the game. Peace out, guys.